Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Layla King. I bring you greetings from the Diocese of West Texas, which is a bit of a misnomer. It's actually Southern Texas, but here we are, where it is my pleasure to serve as the canon for mission in small congregations. You all are not a small congregation. In fact, you're probably, I think you're like at least five or six times the size of the congregation I usually am preaching to, but it is nonetheless a great pleasure to be here. I am grateful to Father Noah for the invitation to come and preach and teach a little bit about my family story and my ancestry as a Palestinian Christian. So thank you for the welcome here with you all today. The portion of John's gospel we hear today gives us Jesus' longest conversation in the Bible, as Father Vincent now knows, because he had to read it all. And it is with the most unlikely of partners. The woman at the well in Sychar is as different as could be from Jesus. The two are divided by gender, by ethnicity, by religious practice and belief, even probably by their age. That they happen onto one another in this way would have been unlikely. That they would talk with each other would have been unheard of. And yet here they are, two people who meet on a hot day and share a cool drink and a transformational conversation. Before we dig into that conversation, I want to paint a picture of the setting here at Jacob's Well, what is modern day Nablus in Palestine. Only I want you to understand that setting in the context of what it looks like today. Because as unlikely as this encounter between a Judean man and a Samaritan woman would have been in Jesus' own day, a similar encounter between an Israeli Jew and a Palestinian Christian like me in that same place now is almost impossible. In fact, just this past week, I heard from a friend who visited recently Nablus as part of a pilgrimage of solidarity with Palestinian Christians, the first Christians of the Holy Land. My friend Angel, a Black American, told me about their labored journey from Jerusalem to Nablus, only 50 miles that took nearly 3 hours because of the checkpoints put up along the route by the Israeli army in its occupation of the Palestinians' native land. When Angel's group reached Nablus, they were distraught to find the churches there largely empty. It was a Sunday, so they attended worship at the Episcopal Church along with a meager congregation. They were lucky to have arrived on the one Sunday a month that the priest there says Mass at all. I would love to offer the Eucharist every Sunday, Father Jamil told them, but our people can't get to church most weeks because of all the checkpoints and the intimidation. It is too great a risk, so we don't ask it of them. Even the preschool connected to the church has to be evacuated at least a couple times each month as the Israeli army regularly comes through the village spraying tear gas indiscriminately. Later that afternoon, the pilgrims found Father Justinius, the priest at the Orthodox Church at Jacob's Well, picking the fruit off the trees on the church's land. What will you do with the fruit? Angel asked him. Here, he told the group, take and eat it. There are so few who live close enough to the church grounds that we cannot eat all this fruit, and it will go rotten otherwise. When the pilgrims asked Father Justinius about Jacob's well, he helped them draw water from it, just as the Samaritan woman would have done for Jesus. My friend Angel said the water was crisp, cool, sweet, and refreshing, and they felt privileged to be able to sip it when Israel prevents so many other Christians from even making it to this holy site. So you can understand why the kind of conversation that Jesus has with this woman so different from him would be impossible today, when most Palestinians can't reach Jacob's well, and the only Israelis who do come with tear gas and intimidation instead of open eyes, open ears, open minds, and open hearts. But what this remarkable story in John's Gospel reveals to us, who strive to be true followers of Jesus today, is that it is only by keeping our eyes, ears, minds, and hearts open to one another that we can hope to transform this ordinary, fragile, broken, and heartbreaking world into the kingdom of God. It all starts with this chance encounter between Jesus and the unnamed woman. In the most humdrum event of fetching water, she is astonished anyone is here at all in the heat of the day, when usually the well would be devoid of people. She's even more surprised when this Jewish man addresses her. But she doesn't just give him an odd look and go about her business. Instead, when he asks her for a drink, she responds with her own question. How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? And then the questions keep coming. Each answer from Jesus raises another question from the woman. She is curious, thoughtful, persistent. My mentor in college used to say, interested is interesting. If you're ever stuck for conversation, just ask the other person something about them. The topic isn't important. You can ask about their work or the meaning of their name or the title of the last book they read. But when you ask a question, you end up engaging with another. You begin building a relationship, even if it's only a fleeting one. And relationship is key to our learning to love our neighbors. Questions lead to conversation, conversation to relationship, and relationship to knowing and understanding each other. And intentionally or not, that's exactly what the Samaritan woman does with all her questions. She engages Jesus in a conversation just as much as he engages her. And together, in the heat of the noonday sun over a cup of cool water, they build relationship and understanding. Though Jesus seems somehow to know quite a lot about the woman already, he knows that she has been married 5 times and that her current living situation does not follow social norms. But he offers no judgment, no criticism of her life or behavior. Rather, knowing her just as she is, he offers her living water. And she leaves the well water behind and goes back to the city proclaiming what she has begun to know about him. Come and see. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? The Samaritan woman doesn't know to whom she speaks at the well that day, but nonetheless, she engages the stranger, builds relationship, and comes to know him just as he knows her. And the result is her own understanding and her witness to others of the good news she has received. Perhaps John's Gospel pays so much attention to this interaction at the well because in this story we can see what true discipleship looks like. We encounter the Christ often in the most mundane and unexpected places, always in the faces of the people around us, those like us, yes, but also and especially those who differ from us greatly. And in seeking to know and love the stranger in our midst, we seek to know and love Christ Jesus himself. In doing so, we may just find that we have received the living water that comes from right relationship with Jesus and with each other. And we can bear witness to others of the knowledge of that grace and trust that they too will come to know the Savior of the world. This is how God's love, mercy, and justice are spread. This is how God's kingdom is built, not with debate and political rhetoric, and certainly not with tear gas and guns, but slowly, in relationship with each other, by one conversation with a potential new friend, in a story told and a story heard, through chance encounters between people intent on cultivating open hearts and open minds. And frustrating as it may be, we cannot and do not control the consequences of our kingdom-building work. And we must have patience and grace with ourselves and with the world around us when the great project of God's reconciliation of that world seems to be taking a long time. For as Jesus tells his disciples, one sows and another reaps, and others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. We are not in control of the big picture. We can only accomplish the part of the task set before us as best we can, one new neighbor at a time. But like the Samaritan woman, we may discover that by the grace of God, we can be highly effective disciples of Jesus, bearers of the word to the world, and fellow builders of God's kingdom, right here and now on earth, just as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen.